This program was first broadcast on Toro Radio 1575 Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Good evening, I'm Kelvin Lyon, representing the Christadelphian Bible Truth program, and we've been going through some lessons on exploring the Bible. We've gone through a fair number of them this time. We're up to lesson number 25 tonight, and looking at lesson 25, I've been going over. It's quite a large one, so we're going to put it into a Part A and Part B lesson tonight. We've gone through, if you've just heard from the first time that of this program, as you're listening now, we've gone through right from the beginning the Bible, the inspired Word of God. We've gone through creation, how sin entered the world, Cain and Abel, Noah, calling of Abraham. We've gone through the times of David, the promises made to Israel. We had them go into captivity. We've had them come back from Babylon with the captivity. We've dealt with the work of John the Baptist, the work of Jesus, the crucifixion and his ascension, and the work of Paul. Last week we dealt with some facts concerning that word that upset so many people, Satan or the devil, which is meaning adversary or sin in the flesh and those things. We dealt with that last week. If anyone needs to require any further information on that, we're free to further information on this, on any of these topics. Okay, you can log on to findthelight.org.New Zealand. Thank you. Also, you can write to Christadelphian, P.O. Box 595, Dunedin. Or write to myself at Kelvin Lyon, RD2 Waitati, or phone 03-4822-698. Right, let us get moving. Lesson 25 tonight, which is the part of the conclusion or the culmination of a lot of work of our Father in Heaven, and we're into the title, The Coming Kingdom of God. Remember Jesus, how he taught us in his example prayer, to thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're to pray for that. And therefore, as we've been going through our lessons, we've been seeing the work that God has done with how the Lord Jesus Christ has been promised right back in Genesis, how he's come through the genealogy side of things, and the work that the people that he made promises to, the Jewish people, Abraham, David, Solomon, and as we record in Matthew 1 and Luke 4, the genealogy showing where Jesus has come from, down through the mankind line, but also how the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and gave him that other side where he was stronger and he could have the power and the strength to do what was necessary, because he was sent as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. So therefore, let's get reading here on some notes I've got. Throughout the preceding studies, it's been shown that God will set up a kingdom on this earth, and that Jesus Christ will return from heaven to reign as king over it. Some of the quotes that establish this are, and we've read some of them before in different lessons, but we'll go just through a few others here, because this, as I said, we've split this subject into two tonight. Daniel is an extremely interesting prophet, and his prophecy speaking of the last days. But remember, it is God working through him. It is the Lord God. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven, Daniel tells us, will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, the context what Daniel was talking about was a giant. Mankind was put into a dream for Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and no one could interpret except Daniel with the help of God. And it showed through this man from the head of gold right down to the toes of different kingdoms that would rise through the world. He speaks clearly what they are. Other prophecies in Daniel and the Revelations show what the last ones are. And as he says there, in the days of these kings, that's the final ones, when this image actually stands on its feet, is the time we're talking about. And anyway, there's another one there in the book of Revelations that talking about things to come hereafter. John the Apostle wrote this from the Isle of Patmos in about AD 96. And the seventh angel sounded, Revelations 11:15. And there was a great voice in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." So, we also have the Acts of the Apostles, the time that when Jesus ascended into heaven, which is quite extremely relevant because he was only here for 3.5 years, and away he went, and then, whoa, is he gone forever or is he coming? Well, you listen to what the apostle, it's Luke is actually that has been recording this from people he knew and met. "And when he," Jesus, "had spoken these things while they beheld, he," Jesus, "was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.'" And that sounds very plain to me. So you can look at that Acts 1:9-11, because that's the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, and the Apostles went forward now to do their work to the Gentiles after the Lord ascended. Jesus also told the parable of the nobleman who went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return in Luke 19:11-27, whereby he foretold his present absence, but gave assurance that he will return to set up God's kingdom on earth. See, at this time, he'd come up to Jerusalem, and they and the apostles, really, and the disciples, wanted to make him king then, but he said, no, I'll be arrested, I'll be crucified, and I'll raise the third day. And they didn't want to believe that. They expected him to be king, because he'd been preaching the kingdom of God. That was the highlight that was in their mind, the thrill, the excitement, the joy, to know that they were with a king. But then, when he dropped the sort of a little clangor to them, a reminder that he was away till he would return. Interesting note, you know, if you read in the epistle to one of Peter's epistles, at 2 Peter 1:19-21, talks about the sure word of prophecy, which is, when it says a sure word of prophecy, it's a guide, it's a hope, it's an encouragement to us believers that are left here waiting for our Lord to return. And where do we get our encouragement and things to help us do these things? But if we read here, Peter says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts." See, now he's talking about the absent time, but we have the sure word of prophecy showing us that things have happened. See, the prophetic word of the Bible, it tells us many things that have happened, that would happen and did happen. Therefore, when we read the things that haven't happened, we must be awaiting them. So that is the sure word of prophecy. It's an encouragement. It's helped to know us these things. You know, I mean, we know the sun rose yesterday morning, don't we? So we have assurance that it's going to rise the next morning and the next morning. We know these things. That's where faith comes from, by understanding these things. And then he goes on, he says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation." So it's not mankind just dreaming up these things. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." See, friends, they were moved. Holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We've just been recording from Daniel. The one of the kingdoms was Daniel 2:44. We had John in the Isle of Patmos at Revelations 11:15. And we have these men witnessing the Lord Jesus ascending here in Acts 1:9-11. So, let's move on now for some events from now until Jesus Christ returns. So let's look at it. Taking these broad facts, let us now follow through the remarkable detail that is provided in the scriptures, in the Bible, showing the sequence of events that will take place from now through to the establishment of this kingdom. As we gather these references together, we're impressed with the logical way whereby God will transform this world at the return of Jesus to the earth and there is really the benefits that are going to occur to mankind. It's unbelievable to read those scriptures that have been promised that will partake throughout this whole world. But prior to that time, we see it's similar to what it was in Jesus' time when he was talking the kingdom of God. They were excited about it. They were in dire straits. And when we look around the world today, the world is in dire straits. It needs a Messiah. It needs someone to take control and to direction for people's lives and the people in this world without the suffering, the greed, the rampant injustices and things that take place between people and between nations and areas of the things. And the Bible's protected this. He says there, the world will continue in its moral decline, which is so alarming today with its resultant corruption and violence. The effect produced are similar to those in the days of Noah and Lot. Anyone remember the Old Testament scriptures? We spoke with those ones way back in our lessons. Noah and Lot. The earth was then filled with violence and corruption. Genesis 6:11-13, and the result of man forsaking God's ways, which led to marriage breakdown and an all-consuming desire to gratify human nature's human evil desires. Genesis 6:1-5. Jesus Christ himself said that the world would sink again into this state prior to his return. I hope you've got a pen and paper at hand. I haven't got time to read all these. We'll have our two-session part of the kingdom of God into a 10-part thing. But anyway, but it is interesting. But Luke 17, Jesus is speaking, verses 26-27, and Matthew 24:36-39. He also said that the depraved immorality that brought the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah would be rampant in the world at his return. Luke 17:28-33. That's the state of mankind. As someone actually said to me today, that things have deteriorated so bad from the 60s and 70s that adultery was accepted. Prostitution has been accepted. Homosexuality has been accepted. And then the next decade, all things are accepted. And people see terrible injustices and slow justices and judgments making upon some of the most evil things that are done in our society. Right, let's look on a bit now. Concerning the nations and concerning the nation of Israel. Because remember, Jesus said that prior to his return, that's in Matthew 24, prior to his return, the nation of Israel would be established. It would be living secure and these sort of things. Not that it's secure now, but it has a sense of ownership to that land. But they would do this prior to his coming. Anyway, but there's other things taking place. At the time of this morally degenerate state of society, the prophets, Ezekiel and Daniel, we've got Daniel before, Ezekiel now, both predict the rise of a northern power, a military confederacy that will sweep down into Israel. And it speaks of Israel dwelling peacefully, safely. And Israel wasn't there 150 years ago. And through into the Middle East. Ezekiel in his 38th chapter details for us the nations that will be involved in this mighty military confederacy under Russia's dominion and leadership. Ezekiel 38, see lesson 16 and map for details. And Daniel 11, chapter 11, verses 40 to 45. They give the outline of this European-Russian military move into Israel and Egypt. But it's not just in Ezekiel and Daniel. Another end time prophecy, which is coming to the time of Jesus' return in the kingdom, is especially Zechariah and Joel, but there are others too. But Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, him in chapter 12 and just 14, he also gives great detail regarding this invasion. See, when Russia and Europe make their united military push into the Middle East, Israel is there as a nation, and Jerusalem is under Jewish control. I'll read Ezekiel 38, verse 8. After many days thou, Israel, shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people. And thou shalt come against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. One look at verse 16. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, and the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. So two places we have the latter days, and two places we have it where they're obviously in the land, in their land. And two places showing there in one chapter of people coming upon them. Like, be thou prepared thyself and all assemble thy company to come against them. Verse 7. Verse 15 before the other one. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with them, all riding upon horses and a great company and mighty army. Two times speaking of that military might that's to come down upon the nation of Israel. Look at Zechariah 12, verses 3 to 5. Talking about the same time, no doubt about it, you can't doubt these prophecies that fit together. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Another couple of verses. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment and his rider with madness. And I'll open mine eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength and the Lord of hosts their God. The Lord of hosts will be their Savior. So as we read through Zechariah, chapters 12 and right through to 14, we note certain following details. As I just read a minute ago, God will make Jerusalem the center of international controversy. Read that, notice that in verse 3, that burdensome stone to all people. All nations will gather to fight against Jerusalem in the Middle East. Zechariah 14, 2 to 8. We'll just duck over the page here a minute. 2 to 8, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, and half the city shall go into captivity. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. How many more verses do I need to read on this one? Chapter 7, are we looking at? Sorry. And then it speaks about Jesus, and then his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave, and before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And it shall come to pass on that day that living waters shall go out of Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. And in summer and winter shall it be. He speaks about the blessings, some blessings there to Jerusalem at that time in those verses there. Now there's another one in Ezekiel 38 speaks more of that fight against Jerusalem, as I read before, and Daniel 11 is the same. 40 to 45, take a note of that. Sometimes it's better to read them in your leisure. In this conflict, the Jews in the land will suffer greatly. Zechariah 12, 1 to 2. And at that time, Jesus Christ will return and reveal himself personally to Israel. I want to read verse chapter 13. It shall come to pass that in all the lands, saith the Lord, two parts thereof shall be cut off and die, but the third part shall be left therein. And I'll bring the third part through the fire and refine them as a silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. So there's some interesting things in Zechariah and those and these prophecies. At that time, it is Jesus will return and reveal himself personally. Zechariah 12:9-11 is when it is. You can see that 12:9-11. I just lost the page. Sorry. And it shall come to pass in that day that I'll seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I'll pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for one as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. They are going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. They will look upon me whom they have pierced. And Jesus will ask, what are these wounds in thy hand? Those with whom I was wounded in the house of my friends, Jesus will say. They will then understand that he is the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In that time will cause a tremendous earthquake centered in the Mount of Olives to humble and overthrow the gathered military might of the nations. Zechariah 14:4-8 speaks about that, but also we get a certain amount in chapter 38, which is talking about the same thing. As I said, shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury will come up in my face, and in my jealousy and the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And then we duck and miss a couple of verses there, just for time factor. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I'll be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Lord God is not respected today. He's not honored. People do what they want to do themselves. The Northern Confederacy will be destroyed. Ezekiel 39, he will smite them. He'll be burying them for 7 years. There'll be an awful slaughter in the land of Israel to show, and it won't be done by the nation of Israel's military might or its allies or whatever. And then God, through Jesus Christ, will be proclaimed as king over all the earth, and we can see that in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9. Lord shall be king over all the earth, and that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. We're going to have to make this into about a 5 session. I just can't get through this any quicker. Jerusalem shall become the center of worship, with all nations will go to learn the Lord's way. Have a look at Isaiah 2, verses 2 to 4. And it says there, in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and people will go up to it and respect the God of Israel. And also many other prophecies say there'll be a highway from Egypt through Israel to Assyria. They'll be one with each other. The Old Testament prophecies which speak of nations coming into the year of Jerusalem in the Middle East to concentrate their military conflict in Israel as they strive for world domination is also described for us in the book of Revelations. There the conflict is called Armageddon, and not many people have missed out on that word Armageddon and understand hearing it from time to time. The news reporters try to use it to dramatize certain events and that. It is recorded in Revelation 16:12-16. There's been books written about it. They've been of this word Armageddon, but not always to do with it from the Bible point of view, but more so from a dramatic point of view in novels. The Apostle John was shown the events that will culminate in the destruction of this political and military might in Israel with the return of Jesus back to the earth. In verse 14 of this chapter, John saw the spirit of madness going forth to gather the kings of the earth to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Now you see, this is similar to what I've just been reading in Zechariah, in Ezekiel, and it's in Daniel, and it's in Joel too. The place we're going, John, here John gives a remarkable clue to the meaning of the word Armageddon. The New Testament is written in Greek, but John says that this word is in the Hebrew tongue. You can see it written there. And the word literally means sheaves in a valley for judgment or threshing. God is to gather the nations to thresh or judge them and reveal his great power and authority to this godless nation. Every knee will bow. Every heart will shake. The prophet Joel foretold the gathering by God of the heathen or godless Gentile nations to the valley of Jehoshaphat, equals, which is God's judgment, really, for judgment, harvesting and threshing. Joel 3, 9-17. Take that down. Notice the sequence here. Joel speaks of all nations building up arms and military weapons. Then they gather in conflict in the valley of Jehoshaphat, which is identified as the Kidron Valley on the east of Jerusalem, between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives. There they are harvested in the Valley of Decision, threshing, verse 14. The end result is that the Lord God of Israel utters his voice, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, verse 16. He becomes the hope of his people Israel, and dwells in Jerusalem through the rulership of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these are mighty, marvelous statements showing those things, but the return of Jesus Christ is also recorded just before. He's spoken of before the Armageddon. He says, but we'll just read on with it. But both in Zechariah and Revelations, we're specifically told that it's at the height of the great conflict in Israel between the European Russian power, which is coming against Israel, and all other nations that gather themselves against Israel. Zechariah 12 and 13, all these ones show these things. But in the account of all nations gathering to battle of Armageddon, Revelation chapter 16, verses 14 to 16, we note in verse 15 that a warning is given. Behold, I come as a thief. Jesus says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. See, friends, we're ever warned day in, day out when we read the scriptures. I mean, every page, every verse, every word, you've got to remember, is Holy Spirit word from God. We can read it or we can ignore it at our peril. He didn't have to write so much. He didn't need to help us so much. He didn't need to give us his son to die on that cross, a terrible death, as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. Which he's done, if to those who identify him as their Savior. And when he's coming back, he's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So what was a lamb? Lamb went like to the slaughter. Isaiah 53 speaks clearly of his previous disposition and how he was. Strong in mind, but he was used to take away the sin of the world, and he conformed to that way. When he comes back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he will force and have us people, humans, conforming to his way of life. He's coming back to set up a wonderful kingdom for those that would wish to live in that way of caring, sharing, loving, justice, equality, as Psalm 72 says. But if we don't pay attention, we lose at our peril. Thus, while this gathering of nations for war in the Middle East is progressing, the faithful servants of Jesus Christ are told that this is the time to expect the return of their Lord. Their Lord? Why their Lord? Because they have received him as their Savior. They're waiting on him to return. We partake of the wine and the blood, wine and the bread representing his broken body and spilt blood. And we're told to do it until he comes. Friends, we've run out of time. If the Lord returns before we get to our next session, may you be found watching and doing those things that he would have you to do. Read the word, instant, now, be in season and out of season. Attention, it's a wonderful thing. It's the only thing that gives us hope to this world, and it is not just a false dream. It is based on fact, the things that we're talking about tonight. It is the kingdom of God that Jesus taught. So I must sign off now. Thanks for listening and continuing your study, and be free to approach and contact us on to log on to findthelot.org or Christadelphian PO Box 595 Dunedin for any literature on any subject, or myself, Kelvin Lyon, RD2 Waitete 9085, or phone 03-4822-698. Thanks very much. Good evening.
This program was first broadcast on Torah Radio 1575 Dunedin, and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.